Well, you may all be seated, and I want to welcome everybody here. For those who are visiting with us, we always encourage to see new people. I met someone today who was here 20 years ago. Judy. Is it Judy, right? Jerry, right. And a friend that moved here from Vancouver. I said, wow, moving from Vancouver to Calgary, that's quite something. Anyway, so good to see so many people here. It's good to see some new faces. We always love seeing visitors come and spend the time together with us. And hopefully you'll enjoy our service today. Just a reminder that following the service, we have an oneg downstairs. Oneg means delighting in the Shabbat. So we continue to delight in the Sabbath after the service by going downstairs. We have a nice setup and time for sitting around tables and noshing together and really enjoying each other's company. So invite you downstairs after that. Also, we're really blessed to have Carmen Steppi as our Hebrew teacher, and she's going to be working with the cantors at 1 o'clock, you know, in the meeting room. So all the cantors, if you could meet Carmen in the meeting room. She wants to kind of just give you a little bit of, instruction about the Torah service, so that would be great. And then also, this coming week, we've been doing a series of studies on the book of Revelation. And so this is the last one for the time being because they haven't put any more out. So this one here this week is going to be the Spirit of Prophecy and the End of All Things. And so if you want to come and experience that, you're welcome to do it by Zoom. The link is in the update as well as in person. And then we're going to be getting closer to Shavuot. So, and then, of course, Yerushalayim Day, which occurs on May the 28th. And so we're going to be have a special teaching and video on Jerusalem Day and the significance of Jerusalem because it is a city of destiny. And then the following week on June 1st, it's traditional to read the story of Ruth during the Feast of Shavuot. And so we're going to be showing a movie on Ruth the first Wednesday of June. So those will be two special services that will be coming up. And then also tomorrow, we know that Alanis Smith she's moving to BC. Brian Smith passed away, we still miss Brian dearly. And but anyway, she's moving to Abbotsford, BC. And so she's having a garage sale tomorrow in her home. And so we really would invite anyone that would like to go and just to, go and support Liana and to be able to hopefully buy something from her. She's going to need all the income that she needs to make this move, to BC. So she would really be encouraged if you would come. And so the address is in the update, and it's from 10 to 4 on this coming tomorrow, actually. So I'm sure she would be glad to see some of you come and check out. We all like a garage sale, right? And so this is a little bit of a special one. Also, at the end of the month, Don and Victoria James from Vigils for Peace will be speaking, in our Shabbat morning service. It happens to fall on Yerushalayim Day, and so they're going to be focusing on Jerusalem. And then we have an exciting yeshiva coming up on June the 24th to the 26th. We sent it out in our update. Moses wrote about me, Portraits of the Messiah in Exodus. And we have a little video clip just to kind of introduce this yeshiva. For us, we have, Yosef Danieli is a tour guide in Israel. We had the privilege of being with him for a couple of tours. And he was really a blessing, a tremendous teacher, author. And so we're going to be doing something totally different before. We've never done this before. We're going to be having him teach this course from Israel. And that's one of the advantages of what we're able to do today with technology, with Zoom and live streaming. And so we just want you just to be introduced, and we want to introduce you to Yosef Danieli, and hopefully that you will consider taking this exciting course that's coming up at the end of June. And we'll be giving a brochure and more information as we get closer. So if we could just watch this video now, Sigong, that would be great.
Shalom, chaverim. My name is Yosef Hachamim Danieli. I live here in God's Promised Land in the beautiful Galilee. I am a tour guide by profession, a lecturer, and lately, in the recent years, also an author. 2,000 years ago, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, Israel's Messiah, in one of his debates, arguments, opinion exchange with the leaders back then, say to them, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. Well, based on this very sentence, statement of Yeshua, I started to write a book series called Moses Wrote About Me. Actually, I published the first book, Genesis, dealing with pictures, portraits, and prototypes, foreshadowings of Yeshua throughout the Torah. I published the book of Genesis last year, and I'm working on those days on the second book, Exodus. I would like to invite you to join me on a course, on a 12 teaching course hosted by the CMJC, Canada Messianic Jewish Institute, on Zoom on June 24th to 26th this year. And I would like to invite you to get a taste from my new book, Yeshua in the Book of Exodus. Okay, and let me read to you one scripture in Luke 22, and I will leave you with this. In Luke 22, the day Yeshua was resurrected, okay, there are two disciples. It's an annoying story, I'm sure you know it all by heart. Two disciples are going down to Emmaus, the village Emmaus, which is probably west, southwest of Jerusalem. And of course he meets them, yeah, and he opens the scriptures for them. And look at what it says. I'm sorry, it's Luke 24. Luke 24, yeah. Look at Luke 24, verse 32. Okay? And they say to one another, this is after he revealed himself, his true identity to them, and immediately vanished, okay, from their sight, eyesight. They say to one another, Luke 24, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures for us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simeon, etc., etc. Did not our hearts burn within us? Would you like, dear precious people of God, your hearts to be burned once again for Yeshua? Would you like a new revelation from His Word? Would you like Him to open scriptures for you? And specifically talking about the Torah, okay? Then join me and you will get a taste of how it feels, or how they felt, the two disciples, down at Emmaus. God bless you and see you on June 24th through the 26th.
Okay, so I know that you'll really be blessed. So I really encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity that we have and to come and be blessed, because we know that everything in the scriptures does point to Yeshua. And, you know, this prophet, the Torah specifically. And so we really appreciate this opportunity that we have to be able to have, you know, Yosef come in and minister to us on that particular weekend. Okay, well, you know, today we're now into the 28th day of the Colony of the Omar, which is a little bit over the halfway mark, 22 days to go. And the Colony of the Omar is really a time marker that is intended to connect us to the Spring Feast of Shavuot that we'll be celebrating on June the 5th, Sunday evening, June the 5th. We're going to be being here 6 p.m., so hopefully you'll come and be a part of that. It's got one of God's appointed times, and so it's His appointment with us, so we trust that you will make that appointment and join together with us on that special day. And the Colony of the Omar symbolizes the beginning of our spiritual journey out of Egypt into the blessings of the Kingdom of God. And the days of the Colony of the Omar is really intended to be a period of spiritual anticipation. It marked the transition time between the revelation of the Torah And it was also, you know, when they came to Mount Sinai and God entered into the covenant of law with him and revealed the Torah in a really powerful and dramatic way as the Lord audibly spoke from Mount Sinai and gave them the Torah and entered into a covenant relationship with them. It was also a transition period between the resurrection of Yeshua on the Feast of First Fruits and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Shavuot. But it was on the 40th day of the counting of the Omer, the day that Yeshua ascended into heaven, that he reaffirmed an important promise to his disciples. And this promise was absolutely essential to their ministry and their mission. And let me just share two scriptures related to that. Luke 24, verse 49, it tells us, after Yeshua's resurrection, he said to his disciples, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then again in Acts 1:4, Yeshua commanded his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For you'll come out immersed with water, but you'll be immersed with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So you should have told them to wait, to stay in the city, don't leave Jerusalem until you have received this promise. And they, when that day came, they were none of them were disappointed. Because on the day of Shavuot, the Holy Spirit was poured out in awesome power and filled the 120 who were waiting for this promise. And Peter, who denied his master just 53 days earlier, stood before Israel, filled with the Holy Spirit, and with great boldness, he gave the most powerful and anointed message of his life. And it tells us in Acts 2:37, when the people heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, "Repent and be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." With many other words, he pleaded with them. And there's so much deep conviction in the hearts of so many of them that 3,000 souls believed and were saved on that one day. One message that Peter got up and gave, one message, anointed and filled with the Spirit, 3,000 people came to salvation. And then sometime later, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, and there's a crippled man from birth was being carried into the temple or being carried to the temple. And when he saw Peter and John entering the temple, he asked them for money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I command you to rise up and walk." And immediately this man started walking. He was crippled from birth. It was a tremendous miracle. And people who were gathered together, they were astonished. Because as people were coming in for prayer, they saw this miracle taking place. And so he gave Peter another opportunity to give a message. And many who heard it believed, and the number of men were saved grew to 5,000 people. So revival literally broke out on the streets of Jerusalem. And this was all the result of them receiving the promise that Yeshua spoke of. Their lives were totally transformed forever. And Peter told the people, "This promise is for you and your children and to those who are far off." We are, you know, this means that this promise is for us as well, because we are those who are far off. And Yeshua spoke of the promise of the Holy Spirit several times throughout his ministry. And this promise involved more than just receiving the power to be his witnesses, because that really was what, you know, Yeshua told them to wait until you're clothed with power from on high so you could be my witnesses. And as a result of that, they saw thousands of people coming to salvation. The people were coming to the Lord every day. It says there was a tremendous community that was birthed, and people were being added to the community every day. Signs and wonders were taking place. People were being healed. People's needs were being met. It was just an amazing experience that first century community had. But this promise involved more than just that. Yeshua told the disciples what the Holy Spirit would do in their lives. And so I'm going to just share some scriptures from John 14. If you want to turn to John 14, verses 15 through 18. And John 14, 15 through 18. Yeshua spent a lot of time preparing his disciples for this promise of the Holy Spirit. So he told them in John 14, 15 through 18, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. He is the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I'll come to you. And then down into verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything I've said to you. And if we turn over to John 15, verse 26, it says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes from the Father, he will testify about me. And then one final scripture in John 16, verse 7 and 13. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will tell you. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine, and he declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, the Ruach will take from me, from what is mine, and declare it to you. So Yeshua described all these amazing benefits that believers would receive when we come into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And before Yeshua ascended to the Father, he emphasized how important this promise was to the success and the effectiveness of their ministry. Let me just paraphrase a little bit about the importance of this promise. Yeshua said, don't leave Jerusalem, don't begin your ministry, don't do anything until you receive the promise of the Father, because unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all of your labor will be in vain. It will be like the day when you went out fishing all day and caught nothing. But if you obey me, you will receive dunamis power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in most parts of the earth. You'll be instruments of great blessing. Many signs and wonders will follow your ministry. The works that I do shall you do also, Yeshua promised. Your nets will be overflowing with so many fish that you'll not be able to contain them. So Yeshua is impressing upon them how important the Holy Spirit would be to the success of their ministry. Yeshua said in John 15, I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to learn how to abide in his presence, to stay connected to him, so that we will be able to bear much fruit. So there's a tremendous blessing we experience if we're abiding in the vine. You know, there's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. It's a prophecy of the Messiah and how the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. And let me just read Isaiah 11, verse 2. It says, a shoot will come from the stem of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this same Spirit that was upon Yeshua and characterized his ministry will be in us and manifest the same attributes in the life of the believer. So Yeshua said the Holy Spirit will rest in us forever. Imagine the omnipresent God of the whole who fills the entire universe. He promises to live and dwell in us forever. It's hard for us even to comprehend what it's going to be like to live forever. And His Holy Spirit will be with us forever. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so it goes totally beyond our ability to comprehend that we're going to be living forever in the kingdom of God. Well, God has an eternal purpose for us. That only He knows what we'll be doing when we step into eternity. And so that's totally amazing. Can you just stop and think about that? But as we abide in the Spirit and obey His commandments, the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. He'll give us understanding. He'll give us counsel. He'll give us power to do the works of the kingdom. He'll give us knowledge. We'll walk in the fear of the Lord. This is a sevenfold promise of the Spirit. And so there are amazing benefits for the child of God to have His presence dwelling within us. And I don't think that we stop and realize how special it is that God's presence lives in our lives. Because I believe that if we did, our lives would be totally different. And so if Yeshua commanded His disciples not to begin their ministry until they received the promise of the Father, how much more should we heed His words and obey His commandment? Yeshua said that unless we are filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit of promise, we will be hindered in our ability to fulfill our Great Commission calling and to do the works of the kingdom. And I believe that's why our generation is, you know, why we are really a powerless generation in many ways. We are a weak and powerless generation. And I know that if we were really walking in the fullness of the power of the Spirit, this world would never be the same. We would literally transform the world as the first century believers did. And so I know that many believers are not walking in the fullness and power of the Spirit, because if we are, we would see our lives totally different than the way they are today. But let me ask you a question. Is the promise of the Spirit a separate experience than the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? In other words, can you receive the Holy Spirit without receiving the promise of being filled and empowered by the Spirit? Are they two separate experiences? Well, I believe the Scriptures teach that they are. There is an interesting scripture in John 20, 21 and 22, about Yeshua doing something unique with His disciples after He rose after His resurrection. And there are differing views on how this verse is interpreted. But in John 20, verse 18, Yeshua, after He had risen, Yeshua records that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Yeshua suddenly appeared to them and said, "Shalom Aleichem." And He showed them His hands and His side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And He said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." How would you understand what Yeshua did when He breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? Did His disciples receive the Holy Spirit when Yeshua breathed on them? Or was it just a symbolic act of by Yeshua as they were preparing for the promise of the Spirit, as many scholars believe? Well, you know, there's another place in the Scriptures where this expression is found and is recorded in Genesis 2, verse 7. And it says, "Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The same word breath is used in Genesis and here in John 20. And so when Yeshua breathed upon His disciples, was this their born-again experience? When they became a new creation, did they receive the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit at that moment? And there's no question this was a unique experience. I believe it is possible they did receive the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but it was not until the Feast of Shavuot that they were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I believe something supernatural happened. Everything that Yeshua did was supernatural. So if Yeshua breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," then something must have happened to those disciples. You know, we know that many of the prophets of old, Moses, King David, Joseph, the artisans, prophets, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, at least had a measure of the Holy Spirit. But they never experienced a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That was the difference between the Old Covenant believer and the New Covenant believer. But Yeshua spoke of the Spirit when he was speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee who, there's a number of Pharisees who really did believe in Yeshua. Many later did come to believe in him. Nicodemus was one who was really seeking for truth. And he came to Yeshua in the night to have a private meeting with him. And so Yeshua began to teach him. And Yeshua told him, I assure you, and he began to speak about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Only God can create spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. We know that Yeshua is talking here about the salvation experience, that we need to be born again. We need to be born above. We need to become a new creation. And, you know, the scriptures are all, in the scriptures, wind is often associated with the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrew, the Spirit is called the Ruach, the wind. So Ruach HaKodesh means the Spirit of the Holy One, the wind of the Holy One. The Holy Spirit was not indwelling God's people while the Messiah was on the earth. Because Yeshua was the visible image, visible manifestation of the Spirit. Yeshua was a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit could only begin his ministry when Messiah ascended into heaven and was glorified. And then he would be able to be omnipresent among his people everywhere. In John 7:37-39, it was on the day of Sukkot, the last day of the great feast, that Yeshua stood before the whole group of Israelis who gathered together on that special day, as they were shouting and crying out. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted him were going to receive, for the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. And this is why the day of Shavuot was so important, because it represented God's appointed time when he was going to fill and empower his people and create a new community of faith-filled believers. That's what Acts 2 states, and when the day of Shavuot came, was fully come, they were all with one accord, one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they're sitting. And so they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues. When the day of Shavuot had fully come, the wind of the Spirit blew on the 120 with such power that it shook the entire house where they were gathered, and tongues of fire rested upon them. On this day, the promise of the Father was fulfilled, and their lives were forever changed. You know, there's an interesting scripture, you know, in Psalms 51, verse 11, of King David prayed after he had committed this grievous sin of adultery. And he said, after his sin, he prayed, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, this can never happen to a born-again believer. After we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in us and dwells in us as a permanent dwelling. The Holy Spirit does not come and go as a child of God. Once the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he's there. Now, we are a living temple of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of our salvation, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It tells us in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, if you want to turn to that. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. And when you believed in Messiah, I'm using a different translation here. And when you believed in Messiah, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. After listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We praise God for his Holy Spirit who lives in us. I mean, I'm so thankful that God's Spirit lives in me and that I'm a new creation. And God teaches me, instructs me, he empowers me, and he empowers each one of us. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise. He promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. We've been grafted into the tree of life forever. And this is his promise, that I'll be with you. Now, I know that, you know, in our congregation, there may be some members who may have a different understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, and that's okay. We're all a work in progress. But I believe the scriptures teach that there is a distinct and separate experience from being indwelt with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. A person can be saved and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but not filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts describes this in several experiences. But when you hear the phrase filled with the Spirit, what comes to your mind? If for some, being filled with the Holy Spirit is associated with a particular time in their life with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the continuation of a private prayer language. This is what happened on the day of Shavuot. And this is the experience of many believers today, including myself. You know, I received this experience. I received this gift as a young believer, and it really did change my life. I pray in the Spirit every day. For others, it's the experience of walking in the freedom and the fruit of the Spirit, and really learning how to grow and cultivate in maturity in the Messiah, which we all are called to do. But there may be different manifestations or signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the most important sign is to have the power and boldness to be God's witnesses. And that's what Yeshua said. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, the best place to gain a clear understanding of to recognize the difference between being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and receiving the fullness of the Spirit is in the Scriptures. Okay, so I'm going to first of all talk, what does it mean to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit? The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit occurs when we first believe, when we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we become a new creation. God has poured out, as Romans 5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. And then secondly, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit occurs only one time. It's once for all. When Yeshua comes into your life as your Lord and Savior, his Spirit takes up permanent residence in your life and we become a living temple of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the experience of all believers. No one can claim to be a believer and not have the Holy Spirit in their life. Simply claiming to be a believer, as many do, does not necessarily mean that you are one. What did Yeshua say in Matthew 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so then what is the difference between being filled and indwelt? Well, being filled with the Holy Spirit results in experience of having the power of the Spirit in your life. As Yeshua said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. It can happen over and over again. It's not a one-time experience like being indwelt. We continually have to ask God to fill us. You know, after the disciples appeared before the Sanhedrin, you know, after performing this miracle, they had to go before the Sanhedrin, Peter and John, who performed this miracle of this man who was crippled. And it created a huge crowd of people, and the Sanhedrin were really quite concerned about this new teaching that was coming into Jerusalem. So they brought them before the Sanhedrin to give an account, and they couldn't deny the miracle, but they really wanted to tell them not to speak anymore in his name. And so it tells us what happened in Acts chapter 4. So they, in verse Acts chapter 4, so they prayed, they got together after this first time that they were really encountered by the authorities. And it says in Acts chapter 4, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Yeshua." And after they had prayed, the place where they're meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So on the day of Shavuot, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit, but here again, they had a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they began to pray, and God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives us some teaching on this, and he uses the illustration of wine. He says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but says, keep being filled with the Spirit." Keep being filled with the Spirit is what it really means. See, when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives, there's both an internal and outward evidence of the Spirit-filled life. And so Paul uses the illustration of the wine. Don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the influence of wine is evident when you drink too much. And the results are visible outwardly in a person's behavior, their words, their actions. They say things they wouldn't normally say. Well, it's something similar with being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes our actions and our behavior. There should be some evidence. If you say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be some evidence that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, because it should change the way you think, the way you act, the way that you walk out your faith. That's why it's always better to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit than under the influence of alcohol, right? It's much better to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because being filled with the Holy Spirit produces a change of behavior. You know, because in the book of Acts, they were once timid and fearful disciples. But when they were filled with the Spirit, they became bold and dynamic evangelists. They began to proclaim the word of God with boldness. Signs and wonders were performed wherever they went. And they were doing the works that Yeshua said that they would do. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is a promise to all believers. But it's only the experience of those who are willing to yield and surrender their lives to Adonai. We can quench the Spirit. And that's why Paul said, "Do not grieve or quench the Spirit." And that's why we don't see the Spirit operating in our lives with the freedom that He would like to, because we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. Being filled by the Spirit is best understood by doing what is opposite of being filled, and that's walking in the flesh. In Galatians 5:16, Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh." Those who belong to Messiah have crucified their passions and their desires. And Paul gives some further explanation in Romans 8. You know, the whole chapter is really talking about the Holy Spirit, so I encourage you to read Romans 8. But let me read a portion of Romans 8, verses 5 through 8, talking about the difference between walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. "For those who according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in the Spirit, in accordance with the Spirit, do the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, and does not subject itself to the law of God, nor can it even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And so it boils down to, who are you feeding the most in your life? The Spirit or the flesh? That will determine how much of the fullness of the Spirit lives and dwells in you. And it's because being filled with the Spirit is a daily submission to the Holy Spirit. It means denying our flesh. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about control. Who is controlling your life? The more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more that He will be able to control our lives and be able to accomplish the works of the kingdom. Let me just kind of close with a couple of illustrations. There's a D.L. Moody, who we know he was a great evangelist and led many to the Lord, he was totally filled with the Holy Spirit. And he held up his glass and he asked, "How can I get air out of this glass?" And one man shouted, "Well, suck it out with a pump." Moody replied. He said, "That would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and he filled the glass. Just like that. And he said, "All the air is now removed." He then went on to explain. Might as well take a drink, right? He went on to explain that victory in a believer's life is not accomplished by sucking out sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill us up to overflowing. And D.L. Moody said, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride, conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Holy Spirit in our life. We must be emptied before we can be filled. We need to be emptied of self to be filled. And that's a key of how we fill the Holy Spirit. We need to be emptied of ourself and allow His Spirit to fill us. And that's why the world today is in such a mess, is because God's people are not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. We're too focused on the things of the flesh, the things of this world. And we're just so distracted by the things of the world, we grieve and we quench the Holy Spirit. So then how are we filled? Well, you know, Peter gives us some instructions in Acts chapter 2. Going back to Acts chapter 2 once again. Acts chapter 2. After he gave this powerfully anointed message, and the people heard this and they were cut to the heart and said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And instead of Peter replied, "Repent." That's where we begin with repentance. Even as we're a believer, we need to repent of any sin in our life. Repent and be immersed. Well, most of us have already been immersed in water. It's talking about immersion, so obviously they were had to become a believer first. "Every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children, to those who are far off." And so it begins with, as a believer, it begins with the Spirit added to the repentance of our sin, of believing that God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit by faith, and then you ask Him. Exactly the same way we come to salvation. It's repentance through faith and through asking. And it's interesting, in Luke chapter 11, Yeshua kind of speaks of this. And he says, "You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful men know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. He commanded us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. It's us that is preventing us from walking in the fullness of the Spirit, because we need to yield our lives to Him. He needs to be Lord of our life. And we need to do this on an ongoing basis. We need to keep yielding. We need to keep abiding in the vine so that His Spirit can live and dwell within us. And so, you know, I would encourage you, you know, this, as we get closer to Shavuot, you know, the promise that Yeshua spoke of, you know, that we've all experienced salvation. I hope, I trust every one of us experienced salvation. But I don't believe that most of us have really been truly filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we really were, we would be totally different. Our lives would be changed. And we would begin to see God using us in a great, mighty way. God wants to use Beth Shekinah to really be a house of glory where His power can really be released. And we can see people healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, see people, you know, set free, see people saved. And we're living in a tremendous generation today where prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. And God wants to use us in a powerful way. And I believe the body of Messiah today is so far from what God wants us to be. That He really wants us to walk in the fullness of His Spirit, because we can really affect this generation if we are willing to do that. Amen. So Lord, we just pray, Father, that You would just get a hold of each one of our hearts. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us. But Lord, we know that you want more of your, we want more of your Spirit to live and dwell in us in a powerful way, that to fill up every area of our lives. So Lord, we pray that we come before you with a heart of repentance, so we repent of any sin in our life, of anything that is hindering and quenching your Spirit. Because, Lord, you said, you commanded for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we know it's something that you want us to experience. But, Lord, we want to believe, and we want to believe by faith that you will truly fill us. But, Lord God, bring us that place of true repentance, where we truly yield our hearts to you, where we allow your Spirit to fill us to overflowing, so that we could truly become a congregation that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can be a congregation that, you know, that sees you demonstrating your power through us. You said these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. They'll speak with new tongues. But if we drink anything deadly, it will not hurt us. Father, you promised that these signs will follow those who believe. Lord, we do believe. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you'll begin to demonstrate your power in us as we walk in faith, as we understand the authority that you've given to us. So, Lord, that we truly can experience everything you have for us. We really want to change this generation, Father. We want to pray for those in our family who need salvation, those who have drifted away. We want to pray and believe, Father, for those among us that they can be healed and set free for whatever they're struggling with, Lord. For those, we just pray for each one of us, Lord, that you do something new and fresh in our congregation as we draw close to Shavuot. Lord, there will be a spirit of anticipation and expectation as those 120 promised, waited and waited and waited with great anticipation, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. But when that day came, Lord, they were not disappointed. They were totally changed and transformed. That's what we want in our lives as well, God. We want you to change and transform us into greater measure of your glory and your presence in our life. In Yeshua's name, amen, Father. Amen, my God. Amen. Amen. So we just wanted to have everyone stand, and if we could just have some of our prayer people, prayer team come forward. We just want to be available to pray with you. If you really, if God's spoken to your heart in any way, you know, we want you to come forward. We want to pray for you, you know, that God would fill you with his Holy Spirit. I pray that would be the prayer. It should be really the prayer of every one of us in this room. It should be the desire of everyone's heart. You know, we want to be filled. We want his Spirit to change us. Amen? Amen? Does everyone agree with that? Or is it we just not? I mean, we all want God's best in our life. Amen? We don't want to settle for second best. So we really, really want him to change us. So just as you feel that, just come and we want to just pray with you and just to believe that God's going to do something special in your life. And whether you come or not, I pray that this coming week that you would take some time alone with God and pray and seek his face and ask God to search your heart and reveal those areas in your life that you need to yield to him so he can fill those areas of your life and that you can really experience more of his presence in your life. In Yeshua's name, amen.